Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are, right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I would love to see these guys on June 3rd at Mercedes-Benz. Okay, I admit I'm a Metallica fan. Yeah, this is just, you got to get rolling with it, right? Saboteur is a great song, too. Jake from Grayson, though, is the winner of the Creed tickets, Creed at State Farm a week from tonight with Three Doors Down. So congrats to Jake from Grayson as he's off to State Farm Arena. The phone lines are open here. Way this works here for the next couple of hours, you and me and Bo Johnson, we're all chatting. You're a guest, not a caller, at 404-726-0929. This is a free-form show, which is to say I present topics, but I do not say to you, no, you can't talk about X, Y, and Z. I may not have a whole lot to talk about if you want to call in and talk about something. Hey, John, what do you think of, you know, the Professional Pickleball League? I'm going to go, I probably got nothing for you. But it doesn't mean you can't call in and try. But we are talking a lot about college football. I've been throwing out college football stuff. You are always welcome to talk about the NFL. You're always welcome to talk about your team. You're always welcome to talk about the Falcons, Hawks. You want to talk about the fact the Dodgers just paid Blake Snell a bazillion dollars because that's what the Dodgers do. That's fine. Whatever you want to jump in on. But I'm focused on college football a little bit, kind of top of mind here with what is coming up this week in college football, including the SEC and all the smack talk that the SEC people are giving, the Georgia fans who still can't get it through their minds that if they beat Georgia Tech on Friday night, they're in, so don't worry about the rankings. Please stop with that. And whether the SEC is miles, you know, better than everybody else, and whether or not you think the college football playoffs might overshadow the end of the NFL regular season, which I think they may. As a matter of fact, I'm almost certain they will, at least here, maybe not in New York, where that's New York. So where they have no clue. How do I know that, John? Oh, I worked there. Yeah, I worked there. So it'll be really interesting. Of course, we're leading up to the Falcons and Chargers, and throughout the week here, as we lead up to the game on Sunday, there's going to be a lot of chatter about that. And with the Hawks tonight in Cleveland, again, 6:30 pregame show for their game against the 17-1 Cleveland Cavaliers here. 404-726-0929. A reminder that this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain at markspainrealestate.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. So you're welcome to jump into the program and be part of it. As we get to, I do say this, as we get to you, do be patient, okay? Just be patient. We will get to you. I want to kind of begin this hour by by kind of stressing to you, this is why I was so excited about the 12-team playoff. The NIL, the portal, the 12-team playoff, is that I thought, I was under the impression that the 12-team playoff and the race for the wild cards, the race for conference titles, the race for the byes, the race for home field was going to make the last portion of the college football season wild. You saw what happened last week. You know, Alabama virtually knocked out, Texas A&M knocked down, Ole Miss knocked down, all these teams that opened up the door potentially for other teams to step into the void. Because should they Alabama go down to the Iron Bowl and Ole Miss go to the Egg Bowl, and the next thing you know, South Carolina's going, hey, how about us? Yeah, how about you? Well, before we get to the phones, are you with me here for a second? I know Bo's doing a lot of different things, and I can't see him being at the Northern Kia Studios. You're from the swamp. What are they saying about Tulane down there? Because Tulane's playing tomorrow night, and Tulane's alive.
Tulane, so the fan base believes that Tulane has a realistic shot, and they kind of do with lots of help. But, hey, man, the biggest thing about them, we'd like to see that rivalry kind of brought back between LSU and Tulane, because now I don't think it's all that lopsided. So, yeah, man, Tulane fans are faithful.
Yeah, no, Tulane's 9-2. They're taking on Memphis tomorrow night. It's one of the many games where somebody is alive. If Tulane wins that game and wins the AAC over Army, then I think you're looking at Tulane being a team that, you know, would be considered. Look, the Big 12 has a problem. There is a chance that Tulane could get in as a second group of five team along with Boise, and the Big 12 could get shut out. Shut out. Shut up. No, seriously, the Big 12 could be left out. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's possible. Because right now, the Big 12 has been eating itself alive to the point where Arizona State, which is probably the current favorite at the moment anyway, and Iowa State and BYU and teams like that might all fall in line behind Tulane. There's no lock that the Big 12 champion gets in. It's just the four highest-rated conference champions, and at the moment, Boise State's rated ahead of the Big 12. And the Big 12 people are all mad about that, saying Arizona State's resume is better than Boise's, yada, yada, yada. Look, the committee is going to be under fire, okay? Just know that. The committee is going to, whatever they decide here. But what if the Big 12 didn't even make it? They get one does not get one team in. That's possible. I still think they will, but it's not out of the question. And the Big 12 is going, wait, the SEC is getting four, the Big 10's getting four, we don't even get a spot? Oh, yeah. Norris is in Braselton. He's on with John. Hey, Norris. Welcome to the program. Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, John. Same to you. So I wanted to ask you your opinion, pretty much. Now, this has been discussed previously, and it just intrigues me because we know how Georgia's played this year, and a lot of it is concerning to me because I think that we take games off. And I think that we very well could be overlooking Georgia Tech this Friday. But at the same time, I have this thought in the back of my head that says, well, if you lose to Georgia Tech and you beat Texas, you're the conference championship, and you beat the best team in the SEC twice. So how do they keep you out in that situation? But then I also have in the back of my head, if you beat Georgia Tech and you lose to Texas in the regular season, you beat the eventual SEC champion. So I know that they don't want to put a three-loss team in, but if there was ever a team that was actually going to get that from the committee, wouldn't you say it was Georgia?
All right, I'm going to explain this again for the eighth time. If Georgia beats Georgia Tech 3-2, 2-0, or 65-0, Georgia beats Georgia Tech, Georgia is in the playoff, regardless of what happens in the title game. Then the only thing in the SEC title game that'll be on the line for Georgia is the bye. Okay? Georgia beats Georgia Tech, they are in. It's clear as day. That's all I can tell you. Yes, they'll be in. And yes, a three-loss team will make it into the playoff. Alabama with three losses, Ole Miss with three losses, potentially South Carolina with three losses. That could happen, I guess. A three-loss team is going to probably
They're the dark horse team, if you ask me, just being honest. They played almost the best football against ranked teams this year of any team in college football. Shane Beamer.
They're still going to need a little bit. They're going to need some help
on that one.
Right, right. I know. Shane Beamer needs some help. But we saw the help that was last week when Bama, A&M, and Ole Miss all went down. That happens again, then South Carolina beats Clemson. South Carolina can suddenly be in. So, but so that we're clear again, if Georgia beats Georgia Tech, Georgia is a lock to make the playoffs. So it doesn't matter what happens. And don't presume that Texas is going to be in the title game. They've got to play at Kyle Field against A&M. That's not going to be any piece of cake. A&M can win that game. Sure. It might be Georgia and Texas A&M.
Very true. Very, very true. Well, one last question for you, John. What's the biggest off-season acquisition you think the Braves made?
Oh, God. Well, it's not going to be Blake Snell.
Beneficial. That's a better way of wording it. Most beneficial.
I think the most beneficial offseason acquisition the Braves are going to end up making. I appreciate the call, Norris. Bo, you're a Braves guy. You work with the team. I think the biggest offseason acquisition the Braves are going to make is a healthy Spencer Strider and a healthy Ronald Acuna Jr. That's what I think.
Yeah, I can get on board with that completely. But, I mean, if they do go after someone in free agency, I want Willy Adames. You know,
I do too.
They're linked to Walker Buehler also. And since the Dodgers just gave Blake Snell that bag, they don't really have room for Walker Buehler anymore. So I think that benefits us that they just paid Blake Snell.
Yeah, it may. I mean, again, I know that the Dodgers are trying to build this super all-star team out there and the defending champs and all that kind of stuff. I still like the Braves a lot. I mean, bounce back years for Riley and for Ozzy and for certainly, I think you can look across the board because the only guy that really exceeded expectation last year is Ozuna, right? He's the only one that actually exceeded expectation. Bounce back here for Murphy and for Olsen, too, I guess. I mean, he's put up big numbers, but not Olsen numbers, not what we expect. If the team gets healthy, the Braves are going to be fine.
They'll be more than fine if they just stay healthy. That's huge, yeah.
Yeah, I know. And it's been kind of their bugaboo lately. Mike is in, so I'm not, I think an Adames or a Walker Buehler. I think there'll be somebody like that that's coming in, but I don't think they're going to, they weren't obviously going to be swimming in the Alonzo, Soto, Blake Snell waters because there was no reason for them to, because frankly, you know, if you look at their, you know, not presuming now, not knowing Spencer Strider, but if you look at the, top of their rotation, it's pretty darn good. I mean, you do have, even without, having Craig, you lose Morton, obviously. Look, this team's still going to have a really good – Fried and Morton are gone. I get it. But their rotation is still really deep and really good. And if Spencer Strider comes in with Schwalenbach and with Chris Sale and with Lopez, I still have a lot of hope for A.J. Smith-Shawver. I mean, and if you go out and get a Walker Buehler, they're going to be fine. Okay, everybody? They're going to be fine. Mike is in Canton. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, John. Love the show. So I'm a Oregon fan. I know that's absurd down here in the South, but I'm curious to get your take on teams, as they learn the playoff bracket and what the committee's looking for. If teams start to pick and choose their wins to get better seeding in the playoffs, what are your thoughts on that?
Walk me through. I need more clarity. What are you talking about?
So, let's say Oregon, who's number one. Right now, from what I saw, they would be playing the winner of Georgia and Tennessee. That's the preliminary. Could you see Oregon maybe taking the Big Ten championship off if they don't like that matchup after everything rolls out? And do you see the other teams doing the same?
You mean they want to play in the opening round, lose the Big Ten title game, and have to play an extra game?
Potentially, depending on who it is.
You mean you would throw a conference title game and want to play an extra game because you're afraid of somebody you're going to play in round two?
Oh, no, that's what I'm asking. I don't know. Do you see teams that could try to do that as they start to learn this the new bracket? No.
No. You want the bye. You want the hardware. You want to be a conference champion. B, you want the bye. No, I can't see that at all. Now, that may be the case kind of moving forward. The SEC and the Big Ten both want to go to 14 teams with their champion, their conference champion getting the byes, Big Ten and SEC, and nobody else gets in automatically. You may start to see that in some other leagues, yes, but...
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
If you're not the conference champion, you may not be in. I think they'll still be guaranteed in. They just won't get a bye. So I think they're always going to protect that.
Yeah, but for those teams that, like, you know, that they get the hot hand, and, you know, there's always that stigma of, does a bye hurt a team that's on a run?
I don't think so, and the reason for that is it's football, not baseball, because think about it this way. In the past, if it were last year, your last game is your conference title game, and you don't play for a near month.
Yeah, true.
Didn't hurt Georgia, right?
True, very
you
true.
Sat out for a near month. Not a week, a near month before you played again. All right, quick break as we continue. Midday Show, John Fricke in on the Midday Show today, live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, Georgia Tech is... exceeded some expectations this year. Maybe we should kind of say maybe they didn't. Maybe they are actually just pretty darn good football team. But boy, Brent Key lost Haynes King, like 80% of Haynes King, and still managed to piece it together with Aaron Filo, and the young quarterback from Prince Ave is doing it. Beat Miami, beat NC State. Say what you like about how those games ended, with the Cam Ward fumble or the missed field goal. Fact is, they won them. So Friday night ought to be interesting, with Tech going to Georgia in a 7:30 kick in Athens. And Carson Beck's going to have to bring his A game here, because we've seen what happens to Georgia when Carson Beck has his C game or his D game. And it's the inconsistency of Carson Beck that gives most Georgia fans pause, and I don't blame them, because he has shown a propensity to have some really inconsistent moments, including entire games, like he did at Ole Miss. 404-726-0929. As we get ready for what is going to be a Turkey Day weekend filled with important college football games, there are literally 17 or 18 college football games that could impact the playoffs. 17 or 18. Normally, in a 14-week, you'd have two or three. No, 17 or 18. It starts tomorrow night. Tulane is alive, and John Summerall's team can make it in. They're 9-2, and they're hosting Memphis. Then Friday, you've got Boise State hosting Oregon State. We all know that Boise State has to win out. The Egg Bowl's at 3:30. Ole Miss is alive at 8-3, you know, and they've got to beat Mississippi State. Then, of course, Georgia can ill afford a loss to Georgia Tech, because that puts them in a must-win situation in the SEC championship game, and that's a 7:30 kick. I'll be watching Nebraska and Iowa for Farmageddon only because I'm a Husker fan, and that's kind of who I am. I hate Iowa. Sorry if you're an Iowa fan out there. Just not saying. Marine Tim is in Kennesaw. He's on with John. Hey, Marine Tim, what is up?
How are you doing, sir? How are you feeling?
I feel great. How about you?
Good. I'm a Tech fan, and I'm hoping like heck we beat them tomorrow night and then put them to where they have to win.
Yeah, Friday night. Don't be looking for the game tomorrow night. It ain't going to be on. Friday night.
you're right. I'm sorry. But I'm certainly hoping that Tech beats them and forces them to have to win the SEC championship.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, I think what the program has done, and I'll be really interested to see what Damon Stoudemire does with the basketball program. And I'll be interested at large to see what Jay Batt does with the entire athletic program, because there's a reckoning coming. Jim Phillips, the commissioner of the ACC, could only hold his finger in the crack in the dam so long. And
that's true.
The ACC is going to crack. It's going to become like the Pac-12. It's going to crack. Florida State and Clemson will leave. And at what point they do leave, when they do leave, they'll leave. And when they do, North Carolina and Virginia are not far behind. So there will be a crack. And I've said a long time ago, Marine Tim, that I think Georgia Tech needs to be on the front foot on this. If I were Jay Batt, I'd be having conversations with the SEC and the Big Ten quietly right now. Hey,
well, we've already won several SEC championships in times past.
Yeah, I know. That was a long time ago, different world.
It was a long time ago.
It's like saying,
no doubt about it.
It's like saying you won a basketball title in the Metro Conference. I mean, that was a long time. I mean, that doesn't mean anything either. So, no, but I'd be having conversations
I want to make. You had Barkowski on, and he is absolutely the best celebrity I've ever met. I used to do his yard for him, and him and his wife are just sweet people. Awesome.
He is a wonderful guy. Yeah, it was great to have Bart on. If you missed the conversation, thank you, Marine Tim. Thank you for your service. If you missed the conversation, and a really interesting conversation, Steve Barkowski talking about some of his memories as a Falcon, but also talking about Arthur Blank, about Kirk Cousins, about what he sees from this team offensively and defensively. A lot of insight from the legendary Falcons quarterback. We're going to replay that for you in an hour, okay, if you missed it. 404-726-0929. I mentioned there are 17 games that at least, and there may be more than that, that impact the college football playoff because either one or both teams are in the mix, right? Thursday, Memphis and Tulane, that's one. Friday, Oregon State and Boise State, that's two. Friday, Egg Bowl, Mississippi State, Mississippi, that's three. Friday, Georgia Tech, Georgia, that's four. On Saturday, another big game, Michigan and Ohio State, obviously, because it impacts, Ohio State and how they're going to be, impacted. Ohio State's in, but, that depends on, at what level they're going to be in. And that game is going to be on 90-9 the game on Saturday morning. We're going to have the Michigan-Ohio State game. So that's four. Actually, that's five. Tennessee-Vandy, yep, it impacts Tennessee. That's six. Palmetto Bowl, South Carolina and Clemson, impacts both potentially. That's seven. Maryland-Penn State is 8. Notre Dame-USC is 9. Iron Bowl is 10. Miami-Syracuse 11. Cal-SMU 12, because SMU cannot afford to lose. Arizona State-Arizona, because Arizona State can't afford to lose. That's 13. Then you get the Old Oak and Bucket, Purdue and Indiana. Now, Indiana's probably going to slaughter Purdue, but still at the same time, it's impactful because Indiana can't afford to have any kind of misstep here. You lose to Purdue, and suddenly people are going to go, wait a minute now. And then the night games on Saturday, Washington and Oregon. How does that impact Oregon? Texas and Texas A&M. Obviously, the winner goes to the SEC title game, and then Kansas State, Iowa State, and the winner there may go to the Big 12 title game. So there's so many games that impact the title games, potential buys, potential home games, potential seeding, potentially just being in, that this is going to be one of the greatest weekends of college football I have ever witnessed. And I've been following college football since 1968. 1968. How old are you, John? Old. That's all I can tell you. I was watching Randy Rhino play linebacker in the Georgia Tech game on a black and white TV, probably 1971. Okay? Going, wow, look at that. I saw Ben Zambezi on the TV. Paul Gilbert, you Georgia fans, you remember those guys? Yeah. Zambezi was after Gilbert. Gilbert was quarterback of Georgia in the late 60s. Yeah, but I've been around a while. Okay. Just saying. I've been around a minute or two. And so I've seen guys. And this is why I love the 12-team playoff. If you're a college football fan, there's so much going on. Because there of those 17 games, and all the teams, just to list the teams that are in situations where they really need or must win, that's Tulane, Boise State, Ole Miss, Georgia, Ohio State, Tennessee, South Carolina, Clemson, Penn State, USC, Notre Dame, not USC, Alabama, Miami, SMU, Arizona State, Indiana, Oregon, Texas A&M, Kansas State, and Iowa State. Some are going to lose because some are heads up, right? Texas and Texas A&M, Kansas State, Iowa State, South Carolina, Clemson, some are head up. And then they're going to be upsets. So this is just so much fun. I absolutely love this. And as a college football fan, you ought to love it too. Now, I know you're worried about your team. I'm worried about mine. But at the same time, you step back and just enjoy all the mayhem. James is in Athens, and he joins John. Hey, James, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, it's Justin.
Oh, hi, Justin.
I hope you can hear me. Well, I got some crackling. I don't know what's going on.
It's all right.
First things first, I'm excited for Georgia Tech. I'm a Georgia fan, but I like it when Georgia Tech is doing good. I want the rivalry to mean something and be more important. I went to the game where Matthew Stafford and Noshawn lost to Tech in, I think, overtime or double overtime in Athens. And that's probably the last time that game was – it was just epic. But second thought, very upset with my Atlanta Falcons. I was listening to 92.9 the game on draft night. I wanted them to take Brock Bowers. I wanted them to trade Kyle Pitts and start something new because this offense could be something special. This is not a defense organization. We cannot draft defensive linemen. We can't sign the defensive linemen to save our lives, and we could have outscored everybody. Brock Bowers looks like a beast, and Kyle Pitts is off and on every other week.
Yeah, no, I had no argument there, but I don't think they were in the Brock Bowers business here because they did have Kyle Pitts, and they had already picked up his fifth-year option.
And well, that's I think why you gotta see the forest for the trees sometimes.
Well, I think that's exactly what they did when they drafted Michael Penix. They saw the forest for the trees. I think you're really going to end up liking – you can't judge this draft until you see Michael –
And they better hope he got that right, because if he didn't get that right,
better hope. Well, I know you better hope, but I think they did. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's all hope when you're talking about draft picks. I get that. Justin's phone is crapping out on us really bad, so let's lose that phone there, Bo. Thank you. You guys can't know this. We can't know this yet. I mean, better hope. Of course it's better hope. Everything is better hope. There are certain things like, all right, in television, for example, when you're writing TV, there are a couple of things you can never do. And one of them that you can never do when you're writing television copy, and I would teach this when I was teaching broadcasting, is you can never say at the end of a story, only time will tell. Well, of course. If you ever hear, how's this going to play out? Only time will tell. Duh. It's the most lazy, ignorant comment you could possibly make. Of course only time will tell. Your whole life, in anything, only time will tell. So, hope, I mean, we just have to see how it plays out. I mean, my hope is, hope being not a wishful thinking and hope are different things, okay? Hope is the expectation of a positive outcome. My hope is that the Falcons drafting Michael Penix in a couple of years, you're not going to be calling me up saying, we could have taken Brock Bowers. Quick break as we head towards 2 o'clock this afternoon. Hawks and Cavs tonight. Pregame starts at 6:30 on this Wednesday of the holiday week right here on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Sports Radio 90 Time the Game from the Northern Kia Studios. John Frickie with you on this Wednesday of Thanksgiving week. Bo Johnson, revisionist history is always interesting to me when suddenly you have hindsight and you go, why didn't we do this? Like in the case of the last caller talks about, hey, why didn't we take Brock Bowers? I think we all knew that Brock Bowers was going to be a hell of a player. Nobody doubted that. It doesn't surprise me at all that he's a great player in the NFL. I think we all knew that was coming. Well, why didn't you take him and get rid of Kyle Pitts? Well, because you had Kyle Pitts. I mean, you needed other things besides a Brock Bowers. I mean, it would be nice to have Brock Bowers, but who's to say Kyle Pitts is going to go somewhere else and really flourish? He may, depending on how he gets used. He's still a really good player. And don't think look, this quarterback class that was just drafted looks like it might actually be a good one, right?
One of the best ones in years.
You got Bo Nix, you got Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, see what happens if J.J. McCarthy got injured. But, I mean, it looks like it's pretty deep, pretty strong.
And the one out of all those guys, at least the top guys, the one that's struggling the most is the one that had the best, career trajectory in Caleb Williams, and he's going to figure it out, right. So, yeah, you're right. It was a great class for quarterback.
And Michael Penix may turn out to be a great quarterback, but we can't judge that and value that for 3 more years. So, I always find it interesting, too, because I believe, like, for example, the Falcons said, they said that Braylon Trice, Bo, was the best rush edge in the draft, and everybody missed on him. And we were able to snag him, what, third round? We were able to snag him, and he's the best rush edge in the draft. Well, we don't know what Braylon Trice would have been to this team this year because he got injured. You know, so we never saw him.
Hopefully he turns out to be that. That's all they can wish for.
But even if he hadn't gotten injured, I'm not sure he would have made an impact. People would have said, why did we take Braylon Trice? Because they're not putting – my biggest complaint here remains. Jimmy Lake is not putting his stars in position to be able to make plays. He's not using the talent correctly. And it just – Jimmy Lake is one of these guys – all right, I always tell this fictional story, Bo, about coaching that drives me nuts. It's a fictional story. I just made it up, but it's to make a point. So there's been a new college basketball coach hired for a college. And he walks in to meet his team that's standing in the middle of the court for the first time. Hadn't seen the team yet. Walks in to meet him. He walks in and he sees 6'7'3" guys. And he goes, wow, I got 6'7'3" guys. And he says to each of them, hey, can you shoot threes? No. 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 Can you shoot threes? No. None of you 7'3" guys can shoot threes? No, we're all low post guys. Well, that's going to be tough. I'm going to have to teach you to shoot threes because all I want to do is shoot 50 threes a game. But, coach, that's not what we do. It doesn't matter what you do. It only matters what I want to do. Yeah, but that's not what we do. I don't care. I'm going to do the team the way I want to do the team, but we can't shoot threes. It doesn't matter. I'm only. That's what we're going at now. It's like somebody said, Jimmy Lake sat down and said, I only want to run a 3-4. Yeah, but we don't have the guys to run a 3-4. It doesn't matter. I'm still going to do it. It's just stupidity on parade. Put your players in a position. I'm not talking about Jimmy. I'm saying the coach, this fictional college coach. You put your players in a position where they can win. You know, and if it's not working, and it was pretty obvious, but wasn't it pretty obvious by like week 3 or 4 that this scheme was probably not really the greatest thing that the Falcons could run?
Yes, it definitely was.
And there were no adjustments coming.
Just not being able to affect the quarterback one bit in those first few games was very evident.
And I have it all year in 11 games. They're averaging 1 sack a game. And it's not just 1 sack. It's no pressures. It's just soft. It's weak. It's arm tackling. It's long drives. It's everything. You can't even get off the field. I'd love to know how many punts. I'd have to look up the stats. How many opponents' punts have we seen this year? I'd almost be surprised if you told me that there was one a game. I'm dead serious. Have they punted once a game against us because we can't get off the field? I don't know. It seems to me you have Caden. It was like the Cowboys game should have been a revelation. Well, but the Cowboys don't have a very good offensive line. I don't care. You die with your boots on. Make them react to you. Don't play scared. Look, if you're playing Lamar Jackson, okay. Well, Bo Nix was the second best running quarterback, and we want to contain him. Oh, so you're just going to let him stand back there all day and pick you apart, a rookie. You're not going to give him different looks. You're not going to make him check down. You're not going to make him audible at the line into something that is one audible because you don't have the right. You're not going to do any of that. You're just going to stand there in some kind of zone, double high safety zone with off ball and just let him throw. Okay. It's just, I don't understand it. I was pulling my hair out. You can get as mad as you want. And people want to talk about Kyle Pitts. Really? That's what you want to complain about? They want to complain about Kyle Pitts? That's the second call today we've had that mentioned Kyle Pitts. I'm sorry, Bo, am I missing it? Is Kyle Pitts the problem on this team right now?
I don't think Kyle Pitts is the problem. Would like to see the ball in his hands a little bit more, but I don't think the...
Sure.
When Kyle Pitts becomes the problem, then the Falcons have a great football team. Or at least they're
right.
You know, they're living up to the expectation that they have currently, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of where I fall, too. Look, if Kyle Pitts is our issue, we're in pretty good shape. Instead, our issue is an entire defense that's not being, I don't think, used properly. Matthew Judon. Why, Matthew Judon? Well, let's see. He's either dropping into coverage. Yeah, he's not going to get any sacks that way. Nope. Or he's being double-teamed. Well, why is he being double-teamed every time? because we only have three guys on the line. And there are five offensive linemen who walk up there and go, okay, double team 97, double team 15, you take that other dude, okay, and we'll be good. It's like a constant nonstop prevent defense, and it's just horrible to watch. Well, John, if you blitz every down, they're going to hit you with screens, and they're going to get chunk plays over the top. Okay, fine. But don't blitz every down. But I would send somebody – see, I'm this is why I'd be a bad defense coordinator. I would send somebody – I would show blitz on every play. Now make you think, especially when you're playing a rook, make you think, am I coming from the right? Am I coming from the left? Am I dropping into coverage? What am I doing? But I would just – I would bring people up on every play. And then I'd drop them into coverage. I would be moving. I would be giving them new looks. They do it on offense. It's one of the things that's interesting about this Falcons team is Zach Robinson is, I don't have the stat in front of me, but at least a couple of weeks ago, they were number one, Bo. They were the number one team in the NFL in terms of pre-snap motion on offense. Number one. They did more pre-snap motion on offense than any team in the NFL. And they do no pre-snap on defense. They just line up and say, okay, run through us. I'm like, oh, what are you doing? Again, I just get so flummoxed here because I still think, Bo, do you still think the Falcons are actually, I know you're not a Falcons fan, I get that, but do you still think the Falcons are actually a decent team?
Yeah, I mean, they have a winning record and they're in first place in their division, so they have to be a decent team, right?
They beat Philadelphia on the road? Yeah,
I think that did happen. Now there's a big drop pass that may say otherwise, but I mean they did win, so hey.
Yeah, well, you know they had the Chiefs beat except for a horrible call in the back of the end zone. They had the Kansas City Chiefs beat. I'm just saying they're a good football team. You know, did they beat the Bucs twice? However it happened, I mean they're a good football team. They've got some talent. It's just. That defense has regressed. Now, understand that under Arthur Smith, right, and under Dean Pease and under Ryan Nielsen, the defense carried this team because you had Noodle Arm Quitter and DoorDash Dez as your quarterbacks. And everybody knew that you could just load the box against them to try to stop Bijan and Tyler because they had no passing game, right? And yet that defense was able to create turnovers and was active. And last year they got 42 sacks and you had Bud Dupree and Calais Campbell. And it wasn't great, but it was good. They were active. They were getting in people's grills and all that kind of stuff. And we said, boy, all we need is a quarterback and this with this defense. And then we get the quarterback and we go out and we help the defense by getting one of the best safeties in the NFL and a veteran defensive end who has, you know, that's what we get. And people say, well, it's, you know, Troy Anderson banged up, Baylen Trice out for the year, Grady's not 100, you lose this guy for a little while. I'm not buying the whole injury thing. I just am not. I blame all of this, all of it, on the fact that this defense is not being used properly. And it just drives me bananas. I want to see them come out against Justin Herbert, and I want to see him attack. And if Justin Herbert hits Ladd McConkey, for especially if J.K. Dobbins isn't playing, I'm not going to really worry about the run that much. But I'm coming after Justin Herbert. I'm going to try and rattle his cage, try to force turnovers, try and make them beat me down the field over the top. And if they do, then I tip my cap to them and say, well done. But I'm not going to stand there and, sir, may I have another? Sir, may I have another? Sir, may I have another? Because that's what this defense is. It's just getting – I cannot imagine what it's like to be in the defensive meetings rooms because were I a veteran player in those defensive meeting rooms, I would be standing in front of the room pointing fingers and screaming, this has to stop. Let us loose.
So who would be the guy would do that, though? Is that what they're missing? Are they missing that guy? You would think maybe Grady would be that guy, right?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know. Maybe – you know, they don't have a Rico. They don't have, you know, a Calais. They don't have a Freeney. That's why I was kind of hoping they would go after Calais to bring him in here because he could be that guy. I'm not saying Jimmy Lake can't coach. I'm saying I think Jimmy Lake is using the guys wrong. And that's only from my unlearned, you know, Jimmy Lake's sitting there going, what the hell are you talking about? I forgot more about football yesterday than you've ever known. Well, that's true. I mean, and you forgot more about the team. That's true. But I have been watching the game for over 50 years. I know a little bit about it, and I know the fact that, look, What I'm seeing is not, my eyes are not lying to me. You're playing soft cover two. I'm a press coverage stunt, come after you guy. What we did against Dallas with Caden Ellis and looping him and bringing him, that's what you need to do every game. Don't play scared. I want to see this defense get super hyper-aggressive. And if you get burned being super hyper-aggressive, I will be on the radio going, hey, listen, credit to you. At least you gave it, you're dying with your boots on. They beat you, they beat you. But don't let them walk on 15-play drives down the middle of the field because you want to play some kind of, keep it in front of you. Oh, my God. If you missed our conversation with Steve Barkowski, legendary Falcons quarterback, really interesting conversation about some of his backstory and his impression of this year's Falcons team. Really good interview. We're going to replay that for you in the 1 o'clock hour. John Fricke in on the midday show on Sports Radio 92 on the game.